Recent attacks against Jews on the streets of Crown Heights are rattling the Orthodox community. They worry that the rise in incidents is part of the anti-Semitism sweeping the nation. But it may also be connected to challenges specific to Crown Heights. WNYC's Matt Katz went to the neighborhood and found people seeking answers.
My first stop is PS 289, an elementary school with a mostly black student body.
Okay.
Two men take the stage in the auditorium.
My name's Ellie Cohen. I'm a rabbi. I live here in Crown Heights. And this is...
Jeffrey Davis. Hello, everyone.
Cohen is white and wiry, with a black hat befitting his Orthodox Judaism. Davis is black and stocky, with a commitment to living out the legacy of his brother, Councilman James Davis, who was shot and killed in City Hall in 2003. Cohen and Davis have come to the school for a stop on what they call a listening tour.
Jeffrey's my buddy. We do this together.
They're trying to get answers to what's causing the recent violence in Crown Heights, where both men have lived since the 1970s.
Over the last little while, there have been quite a number of times when people walking the street, minding their own business.
Cohen doesn't get into details with the kids.
Either been pushed or punched or had things grabbed from them or people scream at them and say different things.
The NYPD says Jewish victims of assaults and robberies in the 71st and 77th precincts that cover Crown Heights jumped from 2 in 2017 to 10 in 2018. Through March of this year, two incidents have already been reported, with four arrests. The NYPD did not break down the perpetrators by race, but surveillance video and victim statements indicate that they're often young men or boys who are black. Some victims have said anti-Semitic slurs are hurled.
How many of you have a Hasidic family on your block, and the family dresses like me, with a black hat and a jacket or a coat? Okay, a lot of you. Put up your hand if... you sometimes talk to people from that family.
Fewer hands go up. The same dynamic takes hold when the kids are asked if they ever visited the Jewish Children's Museum. It's right down the block from the school, but almost none had been there. A picture emerges of two communities, black and Jewish, divided. Davis then asks, why would someone attack a stranger on the street? One student says it's racism. Another, Miguel George, whose family is from the Caribbean, says it's a lack of cultural understanding.
So they misjudge the person, and then they do what they do. Like, writes anti-Semitic symbols on walls.
Cultural misunderstanding is one source of the violence, Davis and Cohen believe. Offstage, Davis tells me that's why kids need to see a black man and a rabbi together.
Laughing, smiling, having conversations together.
Right, right.
They got to see it. It's a game plan here.
Black families, often from the Caribbean, and Jewish families, usually from the Hasidic Chabad Lubavitch movements, have been in Crown Heights for decades.
Grew up together, football, baseball, basketball, going to each other's house. Hey, Yossi. Hey, Rabbi Gross. Ellie Cohen. You just see neighbors and friends. As you get older, it's a separation.
Black residents here tell me Jews often don't say hi or make eye contact on the street. They keep a separate ambulance service and auxiliary police force. Jews, they worry about violence. The stroller carrying two Jewish children that was kicked by a passerby. The men walking alone and jumped from behind. And then there's the history.
The problem began just after 8 last night when a car driven by a Hasidic man went out of control, eventually slamming into a pair of 7-year-old children.
One black child was killed in that incident in 1991. Violence, fires, and the stabbing death of a Jewish man followed. Known as the Crown Heights riots, some black residents call it the uprising or rebellion, while some Jews refer to it with an old Russian word, pogrom, meaning ethnic massacre. Davis says it serves as a backdrop for the tensions between blacks and Jews today.
A community feeling that another community has more. You get more police protection. You get better sanitation. You own all the houses. My landlord was Jewish, and my Jewish landlord evicted me. So now all the Jewish people are landlords, and that's not the case.
The difference now, Davis says, is that religious, political, and police leaders communicate and meet regularly. But that bit about Jewish landlords comes up again and again in my conversations in Crown Heights.
Some people feel that they're being priced out.
Pastor Gil Munroz is another black leader in the neighborhood. He's director of faith-based initiatives for the Brooklyn Borough President, and he just got back from Poland, where he visited Nazi concentration camps. So he's ruminated on what causes hate. He believes the density of Brooklyn, people living on top of one another, is a trigger. And he says black residents struggling economically feel victimized by gentrification.
The average person is going to say, yeah, those Jews, you know, they're coming and they're taking up our land and another Jew man bought the building. That's the kind of talk that you're hearing, yes. If people believe that their livelihood is being threatened, if people believe that they're being forced out or kicked out, whether it's true or not, sometimes they're going to respond in a way that is violent.
But the housing crisis, gentrification, affects Jews here too, says Rabbi Yaakov Bierman, a Chabad activist I met up with outside Chabad's headquarters on Eastern Parkway.
Dinner is $80 for a piece of salmon. We used to pay $3.50 for a breakfast special in Kingston.
Bierman's family lived through the turmoil in Crown Heights in 1991.
On the other hand, you have a unique problem that Crown Heights is dealing with is that you have a tremendous poverty and gentrification, and there is a false story being peddled that somehow the Jews are treated differently than the broader community, that the Jews are not suffering as a result of gentrification. And that's a lie.
Despite the recent spate of attacks in the neighborhood, Bierman thinks the relationship between black and Jewish leaders has improved. But he says tensions are filtering down from the broader culture, from Congress, where Minnesota Representative Ilhan Omar was recently accused of invoking anti-Semitic tropes on Twitter. And others point to the White House.
The president, he's not helping either in a way anyway. Like, he can't dominate.
That's Ronald Taylor, a black Crown Heights resident who arrived from Barbados in 1969. I stopped to talk to him in Broward Park.
Get to sit down and talk it over. If not, we're not going to get anywhere. It's going to be the same old thing again.
But it may take more than talk to quell tensions. Pastor Monrose wants all neighborhood children to visit both the Jewish Museum and the Weeksville Heritage Center, which tells the story of freed slaves in the Crown Heights area. Yaakov Bierman wants millions spent on a school curriculum to bridge divides. Jeffrey Davis wants joint after-school activities like chess for Jewish and black kids. And no one wants a return to 1991. Matt Katz, WNYC News.
Later in the program, we'll have more reporting on hate attacks in our area and what to do when the accused are people of color.